Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each week, we explore different aspects of the world of music, including album reviews, concert reviews, and This Week in Music History. Today, however, we are once again bringing you another exciting episode of What Are We Listening To? This is episode 3, Greg.
Yeah, honored to be here again.
And we are actually, like I said in the last episode of this, people are actually wanting to know what we're listening to.
Yeah, I don't think we were going to do another one so soon, but with all the positive feedback we've gotten, we figured, well, there's a lot of great songs that we've been listening to lately.
Yeah, yeah. And especially because I'm in one of those things. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, okay? And I fit music in different places. So it's like I'll be at work or something and I'll start listening to something, or I'll get cooking dinner and I'll start listening to something. But I'm always waiting for that thing to kind of hook my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and for those of you who didn't know, Greg Harvey is here with me.
Oh, hey, everyone.
Co-hosting the show. Jake isn't here with us, but he wished he could have been. He had to work and do stuff. So
he had to work.
But, you know. That's just how it goes.
We all got to work.
We all got to work. But, yes, so we've been getting a lot of positive feedback about the show. Thank you very much for those of you who are listening and actually talking to us about it. It's good to hear from you. So, yes, we do have another exciting episode of What Are We Listening To? And this week I have two very good choices for songs that I've been listening to this week that, like, nobody else is going to know about.
Are both of yours, like, new? Like,
no,
new
no, no.
Music?
No, no. One of them's new. One of them's very old.
Okay. All right. We're kind of in the same boat here.
So, but I know you've got some stuff that is some more of the classic kind of things from our, my childhood, at least. I know that much.
Yeah.
And then, right when you were about born, so.
Yeah, this today's show is a little more personal for me. It's not just what I've been listening to, but it's the music I really enjoy.
Yeah, it's the thing that hooks you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why the show is called Follow the Sound. That's exactly what it is.
Well, you want to jump in?
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump into this one. So, Greg, go ahead and kick us off with what are you listening to this week?
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, great band out right now. They've been around for a few years. Called Cage the Elephant.
Yeah, I saw them this last year, actually.
Yeah, fantastic band.
Mm-hmm. They put on an amazing live show.
They played Lou Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, a lot of good stuff, a lot of good songs from them. Interestingly enough, though, I picked a new one that, before we started the show, we were doing a little research, discovered that this is actually a classic cover song that was just recently put out by Cage the Elephant. I was not aware that it was a cover, but we went and we listened to some of the other versions of the song, and it's consistently a good song.
Yes.
I think. So, the song specifically you're about to hear is Cage the Elephant's cover of Whole Wide World.
And this is a live performance, so you will hear the audience in the background. But here it goes.
When I was a young boy, my mama said to me, there's only one girl in this world for you, and she probably lives in Tahiti. I go the whole wide world, I go the whole wide world just to find her. Or maybe she's in the Bahamas, where the Caribbean Sea is blue, in the tropical moonlit night, because nobody's talking about you. I go the whole wide world.
That was good.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff.
Yes.
So, before the show, we were doing our research. We discovered that this song was originally done by a man who goes by Reckless Eric.
Yes.
And Brian, I think you have more of the stats up in front of you, but not a recent thing.
No. So the song was recorded a good while ago. It was released in, 67, I want to say?
Wow. There you go.
I mean, let me go back to this.
Okay. Well, I'll elaborate in the meantime, because I love this Cage the Elephant version because it's live, but also that live track minus the crowd cheering and stuff is the pseudo album version that you would hear. It's the same version that they play on the radio. It's just they must have edited out the crowd noise or something. But the original song, it features mainly more of a straightforward band with just that guitar. But in this rendition, they brought in like a full string orchestra. And
yeah,
that really adds a lot to it.
All right. So I got it here. I was off by a decade. It was 77.
Okay.
Sorry. It was originally written in 74 and then recorded in 77. And actually, I said this before that Nick Lowe recorded the guitar and bass for the track. Nick Lowe, of course, being the very famous producer.
For the original version.
Yes, for the original version of the song. But this song has been covered by several different people. I mean, we found a Monkees version of it.
Yeah.
And the one that I actually remembered, though, and once again, I've said this numerous times on the show, I find a lot of my music in movies. And that's exactly where I found this song in the first place, when Will Ferrell did it in the movie Stranger Than Fiction. And he actually played it, and then they spliced in later Reckless Eric's version of it.
Yeah, yeah, to kind of transition when he stops playing it.
Yes, yes. Good stuff. And so that's where I was like, man, that's a really good song.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it starts playing, and I was like, man, that's an even better version of the song.
Sounds familiar.
It's like, but yes, to hear Cage the Elephant's version of it, they did a very, very good job. And also, it's one of these things, I think Cage the Elephant, something is lost in their recording versus seeing them.
Yeah, I would definitely agree
because
with that.
Because the lead singer is so like charismatic on stage,
mm-hmm.
you can't help but just get into a song when he's doing something with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're a good rock band, and his stage presence is great.
Like Mick Jagger in his prime.
Yeah.
Like he's got that sort of essence to him, mm-hmm. you know, except I think he's not as goofy looking as Mick Jagger was. So,
well, decent looking dude, but the song, the aspects of the song that really catch my attention, and I guess it goes for any version of it, but I really love that drum beat, that 1-2-1-2-3, 1-2-1-2-3 that they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not your typical, you know, 2-4 or 1-3 type beat.
Mm-hmm.
I like how staccato that is because I don't feel like I hear that enough. It's so simple in that drum beat, but yet it definitely brings something different.
Absolutely
also,
true.
During the chorus, too, kind of the weird timing with it because it goes, I'd go the whole wide world, I'd go the whole wide world just to find her. I'd go the whole wide world. Go the whole wide world to find out where they hide us. So it's like four, or maybe, you know, like 4-2-4 type.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really like that, too. I'm not a big fan of time changes, to be honest. Call me, you know, everyday man or a blue collar music listener, but I really like my 4-4 time.
It's either 4-4 or 6-8, not both.
Yeah. No. I do kind of feel that way, but
I'm cool with time changes no matter what, but that's just me. So.
You know, I say that
I like complexity.
I say that, but both of my choices today, I think, are bands that are very big into doing.
Yeah,
the time changes you'll see with my next pick as well. But
all right, let's get on to my pick though.
Okay,
so my pick for the first one this week is somebody that I found out about on my recent trip to New York. I went there to see Wally DeBacker play with another member of his other band, The Basics. But Wally DeBacker, of course, being Gautier, the famous,
there you go.
You know, artist at, you know, who
you should have just said that.
Who had somebody that I used to know as the big hit, and so he loves like weird instruments and stuff like that, and he sought out this guy who was like an idol of his, and that guy's name was Jean-Jacques Perret.
Okay.
And Jean-Jacques Perret pioneered an instrument known as the Angeline.
Angeline.
Yes. And you will hear it in this song, because this is Jean-Jacques Perret doing a song called Chicken on the Rocks. And I'm not kidding. I listened to this song, and it just cracks me up with how goofy and funny it actually is. There's no lyrics. It's just instrumental, but it cracks me up. But listen to the Angeline. It's the primary instrument. You'll pick it out very easily. But listen to all the different sounds that it actually makes, okay?
Okay.
Right, here it goes. Jean-Jacques Perret, Chicken on the Rocks. So there you go. That's Jean-Jacques Perret on his Angeline. Yes.
I like that.
One that I've been listening to, though, is a different recording than that one, but that was the original like album released version that he did.
Yeah.
But he actually had an older version of it that was a bit more jazzy and like had like a little guitar and stuff like that, and it was like real okay. instruments as opposed to synth instruments.
So the Angeline.
Yeah, the Angeline is one of these instruments that's a synthesizer, really, but it is a synthesizer that can mimic a lot of other instruments very easily, actually.
Okay.
And like way more than, you know, when the Moog came out, everybody was like, oh, look at this thing. It's like, we can make it sound, you know, like strings. And it's like, see, it sounds like strings. This one, like, he can legit make this thing sound like a violin if he wants to. Because he can slide the notes, and he can give it vibrato by shaking the keys, and it's got a strip on the front, and like a couple of switches where he can change the octaves, and he can change like the distortion on it. Like, it's a weird little instrument, and there's only a few of them left in the world.
Wow.
And Wally DeBacker has one, and he actually has like a tech who just like, that's his job.
Wow.
Is to make sure that that sucker works.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure that one of the few existing ones still works.
Yes.
Do you know, Brian, are you familiar with the name of that test that is the one where artificial intelligence, if it can fool a human or not? You're familiar
with
the Turing test?
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying that the Angeline would kind of pass like the musical Turing test. Like, is that a violin? No,
yes.
Actually.
You can find video clips of Jean-Jacques Perret playing along with other instruments and having the test. I've got it right here. So let me get past the advertisement first, and then we'll listen to just a couple of samples as I skip through this.
See what we got here.
So.
Enrico Morganetto.
All right, so.
Illinois, violin.
So this is the show I've Got a Secret. And it's, he explains.
One of these, sir, is the Angeline.
The Angeline. So skip.
And he's playing what looks like a keyboard.
Yeah, it's a tiny keyboard.
And then I'll see you later.
So watch this. Clarinet.
So that was a real clarinet right here.
Yes.
Oh. Wow. A bagpipe?
Bagpipe.
Okay, we got to do this one. That's pretty close.
All right, French horn.
Okay, one more.
No, there's two more. But it's the violin, it's the one that always gets me.
Okay, yeah, that one was okay.
So. That's pretty good, huh?
The violin one was the best one.
And if you watch it, yeah. And if you watch it, though, you saw him. He was shaking the keys to make that vibrato.
Yeah.
And there's even, like, a strip in just the front that allows him to, like, actually, like, slide all of those notes and stuff.
Wow.
Like, it is a really, really interesting instrument.
That's crazy. And, of course, I Got a Secret. That's a pretty old show.
Oh, yeah. That was a great
you
show.
You know, so... I love it. We get it on the buzzer channel down here, here in St. Louis. Channel 33-1, in case you're curious.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to your next choice, though.
Okay, well, this next one's a classic. For some of those listening, you'll know exactly what this is. For those of you who are not familiar with this, though, I'd like to invite you to give it a chance, because... this is an awesome, you kind of call them a prog rock band too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. They're definitely in the progressive vein. It's just that they're not...
they're also a little
they're
weird.
They're not prog rock like we listened to on the previous album review.
Mm-hmm.
So.
They are fronted by a great bass player named Les Claypool. If you haven't figured it out yet, the band is Primus, and I have been listening to John the Fisherman.
Yes, of course.
Ha ha!
John the Fisherman from Primus's Fizzle Fry album, right? Which we reviewed a while ago.
Oh man, I wasn't here for that one.
Yes, we reviewed it with my buddy Carl, who came in and filled in for you. Carl's one of these other. He's a young kid who I found randomly. He like came into my life somehow.
You're just always bringing us in.
We're not still entirely sure. Like he just, I just happen to be, I'm like, you know, a weird planet that just all of a sudden brings people into orbit. Yeah, so
in new moons.
Yes. So Carl brought this in and we reviewed Fizzle Fry.
Sweet.
And he was like, because he's a huge Primus fan.
Oh
so.
Man. Well, he should be here right now. So what's there to be said? Primus, awesome rock band, three piece. Hello.
Yes. Those power trio.
Power trio, but each individual member a master of their instrument, because this song I think is a great example of all that. The drums are very technical and skilled, but yet like he rocks out.
So the drums were very tight sounding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there wasn't reverb on stuff. It was just like this is the raw sound of these instruments.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about that album.
And the way that song starts too with just the drum beat kind of establishes that, and then you get the bass. So the big thing on this song, and I feel like I'm saying everything that's been said before from the album review, but the bass, I mean, Les Claypool, the way he plays it is that he's not just playing a bass part, but he's creating melodies.
And he's doing chords and stuff.
And he's doing chords. One of my favorite things is right there at the beginning, after the distortion where they go. And it's just kind of holding that note, da-na-na-na, and then you just hear the bwah, bwah, and that's like Les just slapping the bass, making that bwah, bwah noise. And then once they kick into the verse, he's just doing the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's the fact that he plays the bass line, but then he also hits the chords in between the notes of the bass line. And that is just
totally.
It has always blown my
totally
mind.
Totally agree.
That's incredible.
Yes.
I mean, playing a bass is not easy.
Mm-mm.
You have to have very strong hands just to hold and play those notes. To play a chord is very strenuous. And the fact that he's just flying all over that fretboard, like it's no big deal, playing the lead on a bass. So anyways,
agreed.
Kick-ass song, and I had to give it some props here because I have been listening to that lately.
Yes. So this one, though, I only started listening to on Friday, last Friday. And that's because, if you remember in the last episode we did, I talked about I was going to a show to see the band Hippocampus.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a little clip of Hippocampus on the show.
And the show was?
The show was amazing.
Good.
And I would do a proper concert review, but I don't feel it's necessary because it just isn't. But I will tell you this, I had a great time there. You know, of course, it was in Columbia, Missouri, college town. That's where Mizzou is. Mm-hmm. And so a bunch of college kids packed the joint out.
So is it the Blue Note?
Blue Note, yes. And we actually reserved a spot in the balcony. So we had like our own little table and stuff.
You had
like
a reserve spot?
Oh, yeah. We were VIP.
Oh, that's how you should always do it.
It was awesome. It was like, because you can reserve the table for like $50, four seats.
Wow.
Four
that's
seats,
a great
50
deal.
Bucks. You know, and it was like $16 to get in or something like that. So, I mean, like if you and a group of people just go there, boom, get your
that
table.
That sounds
so
totally worth it. Wow.
So if you ever go into the Blue Note in Columbia, Missouri, get the table, rent it out. So I go there to see Hippocampus. We played Hippocampus last week. The opener, though, I got their album and I've been listening to it nonstop. We actually, Jessica got their album before we even went on the trip. And so we listened to it on the way there, and I was like, all right, I'm actually kind of digging this, you know? And then we got to see them live, and it was like, holy cow, like, these dudes are actually really good. And they're really fun to watch because it's four nerds, and you can tell they're nerds because they don't have stage presence whatsoever, but they're fun to watch either way.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
If they truly were nerds, did they have terrible stage banter?
Yes. Horrible stage banter. But that's what made them even more adorable. So the band that I'm talking about is a band called Sure Sure from California. I believe they're from L.A. And they had never played outside of California until this recent tour with Hippocampus. And so they're driving around. It's a new experience for them and everything. And so I got to get a little glimpse into what they're currently going through. But they are, like, just loving the fact that they've got crowds that they can play to and just, like, having a grand old time. They were smiling, like, the whole time throughout the show. And I loved that.
Good.
To see a band being, like, genuinely happy just to play in front of people, that's just great stuff.
That's a feeling that if you've never experienced it, it's hard to express because doing what you love and then having people actually want to consume it.
Yes, yes.
That's a big deal, and for it's especially if these guys are nerdy kind of dudes.
Yes.
This is probably a huge deal for them, and yeah, I'm sure they would really love to hear your thoughts on it.
Well, I absolutely am going to do an album review of theirs, and because I would love to get you and Jake's like sort of actual honest opinion about the band. I think you would like them a bit more than Jake would, because I don't know, they're a little like a lot more mellow than what Jake generally listens to.
I'm willing to try new stuff a little more than he is, I think. Well, that's, I don't know if that's true, but
it could be. I mean, I don't really
I'm
know.
Okay to go on the softer side a little bit more,
but
though.
But sure is I'm not kidding when I said I've listened to this album at least once a day since I got it.
Okay.
At least once a day.
Well, I look forward to hearing
it. And like I listen to it on my phone, listen to it on my TV, I put it on the computer and I played it. Like I've been going to town on this album. This is not my favorite track on the album. I'm saving that one for the album review. But this is one of my favorite tracks on the album. It is called New Biome. Go. That's New Biome by Sure Sure. I don't know it really why, but this band has hooked me. It all of their songs on the album to me are really catchy.
It's good. I like that.
And it's like it's just simple jams that they're doing. Good songs. They throw in little things here and there just to elevate the music a little bit, and they do that live. It's not like they just were like, oh, hey, we're recording this and we're going to do it. So the keyboard player is the one singing that song. The guitar player also sings. I'm pretty sure that the bass player, who also plays keyboard and percussion, might sing a song or two. I'm not entirely sure. He didn't sing at the concert, but they said that he had no voice. So I don't know if they just swapped it out with somebody else, but
and I did notice that like they have as many keyboards as they have band members. Nearly
there
they have like three keyboards.
Yes,
for a four
he's got three
band.
Keyboards that I saw in the show, and then the bass player has a keyboard as well. So there's four on stage, and then the drummer and the guitar player both like do their separate thing. So
yeah, that track was really catchy. Like you said, it wasn't like rocking. But it was certainly like a rock song.
Yes.
And like very kind of light. I mean, this sounds like the epitome of what is hot right now. Like
yes.
These guys are prime to make it big in this current music scene we have going right now. Because
yes.
they fit right in. And I think they're a great choice. Whoever picked them to open for Hippocampus, I think that was a great choice
as
well.
Yeah, it was a really, really good choice in my opinion. It was one of the few times where like the opener really fit with the band that was headlining.
Yeah, this was not forced, I can tell.
Uh-uh. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And when they were playing, and especially in a lot of the other songs, you can really hear their level of musicianship. The guitar player is he's really good, but he's not like showy. You know, he's not just like all over the place trying to show off like, oh, hey, this is what I can do. The same thing with like the drummer and the bass player and stuff. They do things and they make it look so effortless that it's like, man, that's really good. Yeah. And I almost wonder if like your average layperson who, you know, doesn't play an instrument or any of that kind of stuff, doesn't really know anything about music. They listen to it and they hear a catchy song. But a musician listens to it and they're like, man, it's like, did you hear that weird little riff that the guitar player did for like two beats, like right after the chorus was done? That was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, did you hear that thing that the keyboard player did at this one spot, like just for this, like, you know, couple of measures, but he did this amazing thing. It's like, that's the way that I think this band is that the average person could listen to them and be like, this is pretty catchy. But then, like, the musician listens to them, and they're like, man, this is really complex.
Well, I think my initial thought hearing this was that it felt like a song that, well, maybe I'm biased because we were just watching one of their music videos where they were set up in the living room
yes.
playing. But with that being said, like, this music sounds like the guys came over, we set up in the living room, and we're just kind of... we're enjoying ourselves, but we're not getting crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we're not like blasting my mom out of here, you know, because we're playing Primus. You know, we're playing this, and it's like driving enough to keep you engaged, but it's mellow enough
yes.
to let you just kind of, you know, let your imagination go mm-hmm. with the song. And, you know, and yeah, I think that says it well, actually.
So yeah, for me though, like I said, that is not my favorite song on the album. But that is one of my favorite songs on the album.
Ooh, so we got something to look forward
to. The best one is I'm not going to say it right now because I gotta save it. But the best one, I've been listening to that one over and over again, and it's just one of those songs that gets stuck in my head, and I've just got to listen to it. So, and that's a very, very good thing. All the other tracks on the album, though, are also exceptionally well done. So I love it. And, I mean, they just recently released the album, and I honestly can't wait for them to do more. Like, I want them to go back and record now and come up with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need to. Also, their videos on YouTube are hilarious. Like, they're really good. Like, one of the videos, the drummer's there, and he's like... talking about showcasing a zildjian symbol or whatever, and he like starts to set it up
okay.
and then it like completely falls apart and like falls on the floor and he just like stares at it for a second. Like it's one of those goofy little things where it's you weren't expecting it,
but it's so relatable too.
Yes So but they've got a bunch of little videos like that cracked me up, and Jessica was she thought it was funny, but she was like, why are you laughing so hard? And I was like, because this reminds me of my time with my band
exactly.
and the stupid jokes that we used to do.
Yes, that's exactly right, man.
So
I mean, I like that too. I haven't seen the video of him setting up the symbol, but it would be, you know, one of those where it's like, okay, I'm going to show you the symbol real quick. Let me just go ahead and put it on the stand here. And oh, well, nope, it just fell apart.
Yes.
Hang on.
So there you go. But those are our picks this week for what we are listening to. I really hope that you'll go out and listen to some more of Sure Sure, and definitely go out and listen to some more of Jean-Jacques Perret. Of course, you should be listening to Primus, and you should be listening to Cage the Elephant.
Yeah, let me say Cage the Elephant. Their first album was Bomb Diggity, and if you liked what you heard, they are like a good rock band. So
yeah, they are.
Because
very good rock band.
I talk to guys that are middle age, and I try and get them to listen to Cage the Elephant because I feel like if you liked like the 70s now classic rock, but mm-hmm. if you liked that stuff, you're going to like Cage the Elephant. I just want you to expand your horizons here.
Agreed.
So anyway.
Absolutely agreed. So all great picks, I think, that we did tonight. And, you know, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with these choices.
I think this was actually a really solid show as far as music goes.
Yeah. Good choice of things. If you haven't noticed, generally what I like to listen to are these interesting little indie bands that not a whole ton of people know about. I mean, last week I did Hippocampus, but that's because I was going to see them anyway. And I mean, I know they're getting bigger, like weekly.
Yeah.
You know, but this is a band that not too many people know about. And so I love showcasing these types of bands. I played Brumby as well on the previous show mm-hmm. and actually got in contact with them. Super cool dudes.
Wow.
And I'm looking forward. I believe we're setting up an interview with them in the future, which is going to be great. And I'd love to get an interview with Sure as well, just because those guys seemed really cool, and I'd love to just chat with them. They seem like the kind of guys that like I would want to sit and like just hang out with, maybe play video games or watch a movie.
That's probably more realistic than you even think. That's probably achievable.
Yeah, and probably play like some Nintendo 64 or something with them. Like they seem like that kind of guy.
Next time they come back to St. Louis, we'll just stand outside the show with like a Super Nintendo and be like, eh?
I know they're going to be playing in Kansas City in the upcoming months. So if anybody is in the state of Missouri and happens to want to go that direction, please go out and see these guys. Like I really want them to make it huge and win Grammys. So
so there you go. And you know, I think we have a nice dynamic because you're really good at sniffing out the new music right on the edge. You know, riding the wave. And I try and bring back some of the older like. Maybe you just never listen to it type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but look
you
exactly
do that
what
too,
I did.
Though.
I was like, I got something brand spanking new, and I got something good and old, so.
I guess mine was new and old today, too, but new in an old way, revisited.
Yeah, just wait till I start busting out classical music and stuff that I listen to.
Well, I'm going to warn you right now, next time we do What Are You Listening To, it's probably going to be a little more rap-oriented.
Yeah, so, that's fine.
This was The Rock Show.
So, yeah, it's really, if you guys don't get it, these shows are random because we honestly, I mean, like I didn't get with Greg and be like, hey, listen to this, you know, so that way it matches like more with I'm trying to.
Yeah, we didn't know.
We honestly don't plan these shows. We get together and we're just like, all right, what are you listening to? This and this. All right. And then I find the clips and we go for it. It's like 2 minutes of prep before we actually start recording.
2 minutes of prep for a what? Half hour show?
For a half hour show. But yes, once again, thank you for listening to Follow the Sound. I have been your host, Brian Kroc. Along with me has been Greg Harvey.
Thank you very much.
And remember, folks, if you hear it, follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.